It is a compelling story. You can't read it without really feeling some emotion, or at least I can't. I could not tell you how many times in 33 years of preaching I've preached out of this text, because it has something to say to us. And so this morning we're going to go into Mark chapter number 5. Both Matthew, Mark, Luke, all of them record this story, the Synoptic Gospels. I've chosen Mark's account of it. It's the story of a woman with an issue of blood. And we're going to begin in the 24th verse of Mark chapter number 5. And Jesus went with him. Now that's Jairus. Remember, he is traveling toward Jairus' home. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, now, Matthew records this a little differently. Matthew says, for she said within herself. So this wasn't something that she walked around talking to other people about. This is what she was saying to herself. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I'm going to kind of play off of a couple of words to set the message in play this morning. As we are introduced to the text, it says there was a bunch of people, a multitude, thronging him. And then it says this woman touched him. So I'm going to use those two words to title the message, thronging or touching, because there's a difference. There's a lot of people that are curiously thronging him, but not by faith touching him. We're going to talk about that this morning. Father, I thank you that your word is living and powerful and true. I pray this morning that you will move among us through your word, and that your word will come alive in the hearts and the lives of every single person. Anoint me to declare it today, I pray. And Lord, may we leave out of here having grown in our faith as we extend toward you and touch you in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you say amen? So the scripture tells us that Jesus is traveling down the street with Jairus, who has come to him and said, my daughter lieth at the point of death. And Jesus said, I will come and heal her. So he started down the street with Jesus. But by this time in the life and ministry of Jesus, there are multitudes of people following him, for he has been performing miracles and signs and wonders, and they are there on this day. In fact, the Bible says that the multitude was pressing and jostling him to and fro, thronging him. And I want you to get this picture in your mind. I want you to see it. And so the best way I could describe it is, have you ever been to a large stadium and went to an event like a concert or perhaps a sporting event at a stadium? Now, typically going in, you won't experience it, but coming out, you will. Do you ever remember getting finished with the event and then starting out of a stadium holding 18 or 20,000 people, and you're trying to leave out of the stadium with that many people? Do you remember what it was like in the foyer when you got in there? There was people just crammed in on every side of you, people in front of you, people behind you. If you're claustrophobic, it gets a little bit treacherous in those moments trying to get out. People pushing up against you, not really because they were trying to, just the crowd was there, and the crowd was pressing against one another and thronging against one another. That's the image I want you to see on the street this day. Jesus and his disciples are traveling along with Jairus, and the multitude is there, and they're just jostling him to and fro. They're just pushing up against him. They are there. Now, not everybody in the multitude is filled with faith. Not everybody in the multitude even believes that he is who he says he is. Not everybody in the multitude will really connect with him. There are those who are just curiously there, those who are just there to see what they can get, what's going to happen next. But there are some who are really believers. We know that the multitude is not filled with faith because though there were thousands on the hillside being fed, though there were thousands that he ministered to through healing, well, on that day that he was betrayed and crucified, everybody departed. And then in an upper room, we only find 120. So not everybody in the crowd was filled with faith. Listen, you can be in the crowd and have no faith. You can be here this morning and have no faith, never having put your faith in Him. But it's my prayer that you will reach that point. But the Scripture tells us that as Jesus is traveling on this crowded, busy street, that there's a woman there. We're not given her name, but we are given her condition. The Scripture says that she has been sick for 12 long years with a bleeding condition. This would have made her ceremonially unclean. She would have not been allowed to participate in temple life. She would have been segregated and isolated from society. For anybody else she touched with this condition would have been ceremonially unclean. And so it was a condition that caused her to feel isolated, that caused her to feel like no one could really understand. And that's one of the things the enemy always tries to do, is make us feel like that we are all alone in our battle, that there's no one else can really relate to us where we are. Now this morning I want you to broaden the spectrum of the story. The story is about a woman that has a physical ailment, a woman with a disease in her body that she's had now for over a decade, 12 long years. But I suggest to you that there are people in this room, though they may not have a physical ailment, they have other things in their life that they are facing and battling. Maybe it's a spiritual thing that they're going through. Maybe it's an emotional thing. Maybe it's something going on in their family. Maybe it's something with a loved one, and there is a real struggle happening in their life, and they really need a miracle of God. I mean, I want you to realize it really applies to all of us. At some level, the woman is intriguing. We don't know anything about her history before the illness. We know very little of it, except what the Scripture records, that she has been sick for 12 years, and she suffered many things of many physicians, and she has spent everything she has trying to get better. So I want you to see this. I want you to see a woman who has done all that she knows to do to try to get better in her body. I mean, let's just pause for a moment and say that if there is something wrong in your life, whether it's in your body as an illness or whether it's in your mind as some kind of emotion or with a relationship, if there is something in your life that is broken that you have the power to fix, then fix it. Right? I mean, if you're going out in the garage every morning and picking up a hammer and mashing your thumb and spending the whole day whining and complaining about how your thumb hurts, only the next morning to get up and go out in the garage and mash it again with the same hammer so you can complain all day long, how about just not hitting it? Right? So if there's an area in your life that you are contributing to the problem, just make up your mind today in the name of Jesus. I'm going to stop contributing to my own destruction, my own downfall, my own dilemma. I mean, just quit it. But there are some times in our life when we have done all we know to do and things don't get better. This woman is an example. She has done everything she knows to do. Everything within her power has been done. She has spent all of her money. We don't know how much money she had, but she wasn't destitute because she had some to spend. She spent all of her money going to the doctors. And if you would study the doctor profession, the medical profession of her day, you would realize that it was borderline barbaric. And that what she had been through the last 12 years would have been horrendous. She would have been humiliated. She would have suffered a whole lot physically as the profession tried to cure her and make her better. She had spent every dime there. That's easy to do with the medical profession. It is the only profession I know of. It's the only service you and I receive that we don't know on the front side what it's going to cost. This woman had spent her living trying to get better. She not only could do nothing to help herself, but she's at the place where nobody else can help her. The doctors can't help her. I mean, she's at the end of the rope. In fact, she's been suffering for 12 years, but when you look at the story in verse 26, now things are getting worse. Look, she's not getting better. She has taken a downward turn. So there are things in our life that we live with. Physically, sometimes it's a condition. Maybe it's a sickness or an ailment. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's family. There are seasons in our life where sometimes things just aren't good. Things are bad. You ever had some bad things going on in your life and it went on for a while? Nobody like jump up and raise a hand, and I'm not expecting that, but everybody has. And if that's not bad enough, she gets a downward spiral after 12 years. It's not just bad, it's getting worse. When she's exhausted everything she has within her power to try to get better, she's not getting better, she's getting worse. Have you ever been there when whatever bad thing was going on in your life went from bad to worse? And boy, doesn't the enemy show up then. And he says, God doesn't love you. People don't care about you. You ought to just quit believing. But I love this verse of Scripture. Because after it says she has gotten worse, it says the next verse, 27, that when she had heard of Jesus. Why is the church so important? Why is the testimony of every Christian so important? Because we're telling people about Jesus. We're declaring who Jesus is. Somebody took time to tell you about Jesus. It may have been a grandma or a grandpa. It may have been your mama or your dad, your husband, your wife, your next door neighbor, or your best friend. But somebody took time to tell you about the Lord. Thank you, God, that somebody cared enough to tell us about Jesus. And now, may we care enough about other people that we tell them about the Lord. For the Lord is the only hope for the world. She heard about this man who is healing blinded eyes. It's not been heard of since the days of Elijah that miracles were being done in Israel. He is performing signs and wonders. And she came in the press behind him. We'll deal with that after we deal with the next verse. For she said, and let me use Matthew's account, she said within herself. What's that mean? That means she's talking to herself. I think someone once said that there's nothing wrong with you talking to yourself. The only time you got to worry is if you start answering yourself. You may be crazy. I talk to myself, and you talk to yourself. It's part of the way we were created. We talk when nobody else is around. Sometimes, and you can relate to this, there have been difficult things you were going to have to face in your life. Maybe even difficult people. And you found yourself in the car driving when no one was in there with you, and you just started talking out loud, having the conversation. You were working through it. You were saying it out loud so that later on when you were saying it, you had already rehearsed it and your ears could hear the way you were going to say it. You talk about the issues at hand when no one's around, talking to yourself. We all do it. We don't like to admit it, but we do it. And let me just tell you something. It's not that we're talking to ourselves. It's what we're saying that really matters. Because some people only talk to themselves in negative terms. Some people are trapped in their own life by the cage of pessimism. And the only thing they ever tell themselves is how bad it is, how horrible it's been, how they were mistreated, abused, neglected,
how that somebody did them wrong, how that things aren't going well, how that their body's not getting any better. They are always on the downside, and they're always telling themselves how that things are not going to ever be better. But this woman becomes an example of how we should talk to ourselves, because she's not talking about how bad it has been. She's not saying, I've just had it horrible for 12 long years. Things are not ever going to get any better. No, she starts staying within herself. There's a man named Jesus that's healing people. He's the Messiah of Israel. And if I can only get to where he is, and if I can only touch just the hem of his garment, I don't need an audience with him. He doesn't even have to know that I'm in the crowd. I don't need him to wave his hand over me and speak something on me. I don't need him to call my name out over the microphone system. The only thing I need is to get close enough to touch him. Because listen, self, if you can get close enough to him and you can just reach out and touch, I'll tell you what will happen to you. You'll get a miracle. He'll give you what you need in your life. What we've got to do is start speaking faith over our own life. Start declaring your miracle right now. Quit waiting on a preacher to preach it over you, and a prophet to prophesy it over you, or a prayer warrior to pray it over you. And start speaking it over your own life. Today, say, in the name of Jesus, I am healed in my body, I am sound in my mind, and my family is being restored. Hallelujah. So talk to yourself a little bit today. But change the channel. Get off the channel of negativity and click on over to the side of faith and start speaking. There is more power in your mouth than you can ever imagine, for the power of life and death is within your tongue. And if you'll start speaking life over your own existence, then it'll begin to shift where you are. I can just see her in her home the days previous to our text, working through her pain, saying, I'm telling you right now, you're going to get close enough one of these days. You're going to figure out where he is. When he's there, you're going to be there. You hear me? We're going. When I get there, I'm going to touch him. I don't care who's there. I don't care who notices or doesn't notice. I'm going to do what I've got to do. I'm going to get to where he is, and I'm going to get a miracle. She's telling herself. She's preaching her own sermon. Sometimes we ought to do it. And the Bible says Jesus now shows up in her town. She heard he was there. And this is her time. So she comes down to the street, and I can only imagine what it must have been like when she stepped up to the edge of the street and saw the mass of people that were crowding into that little narrow passageway. Don't think in terms of a street like you and I drive on with a car. These are village streets, very narrow, lined with buildings, foot traffic only. Be more like walking in the mall, okay? Stores on each side. People crammed between the buildings. She can't see him, but she knows where he is because the flow of bodies is around him. And in the beginning, I'm sure as she started down the street, it was with some pardon me's and excuse me. I'm sure she stepped up and said to the first one, excuse me, please, and slipped on by him. Pardon me and let me come on by. And I'm sure that happened for a little bit, but you got to realize the closer to the Lord she got, the more compacted the crowd became. Until there was a time that they weren't going to let her on by. That she wasn't going to be able to just say, excuse me, and then part the way. Because in case you've never been in a big crowd, people can be rude in a big crowd. Even a big church crowd. Years ago, I decided to go hear Bishop T.D. Jakes down in San Antonio. He was preaching at John Hagee's church. I arrived an hour early and got in line. There was a huge line already, an hour early. Thousands lined up. And I was, as we started into the building, I was jammed up between people. In those days, I carried my billfold in my back pocket. I don't do that anymore. All of a sudden, this crowd just mashing all, I mean, just
can't even move. You know, you're trying to walk people to. All of a sudden, I felt my billfold coming out of my back pocket. I just took my right hand, and as hard as I could, I just come down, wham, and knocked that hand off my pocket, shoved my billfold back in, and kept my hand over my billfold till we got into the building. Can you believe that? Going into the church, somebody tried to pick my pocket. Not everybody that goes to church loves Jesus. Not everybody that attends is really right. And so you can believe in this crowd where this woman was, there was some not being nice to her when she was trying to get to where he was. And at some point, I am sure that she had to quit being in an upright position. And at some point, she had to probably get down on her hands and knees. Because it's easier to climb between the people than it is to push through them. And I can see her down on her hands and knees, still whispering words of faith. You can make it. You can do it. He's just ahead. Keep pressing on. You're almost there. Don't give up. Keep crawling toward the master who is just walking down the street. And all of a sudden, she's within an arm's distance of him. That's all she needs. She stretches forth between the people. And her finger brushes the very edge of his garment, that robe hanging down. And when it brushes the tassel, power comes flowing out of him. Through her finger, into her hand, down her arms, into her torso, through her body. And in an instant, what had been wrong for 12 years was made right. What had been broken for over a decade was fixed instantaneously. This disease departed out of her body as the power of the Lord came flowing into her. I come to tell us in this room this morning, if we will only reach out by faith and touch him today, that same power is available to flow into our situation. Quit believing the lie of the devil that, well, I've just been done wrong, or they just didn't do me right, or I didn't get the... Listen, just press on in and touch him. Because when you touch him, all that other stuff will wash away. All that other stuff will just dissipate. Because the miracle of God brings wholeness into the life of the person who receives it. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Nobody had to give her calisthenics to prove she got a miracle. In the Bible, every time somebody got a miracle, nobody had to go through those theatrics. When they got their miracle, everybody knew they got their miracle because they started saying, hey, something just happened inside of me. I felt something shift. I felt something change. I'm glad we still serve a God that we can feel his power flowing into our life. And if you've ever been touched by the power of God, then it is undeniable to you. If you have never been touched by the power of God, then I pray this very morning that the power of God come down into your life, because one touch of his power changes everything forevermore. Hallelujah. She felt it. And let me just tell you something. When you have felt it, I've said this to you before, the man or the woman with an experience is never at the mercy of the man or the woman with an argument. There are those who will try to argue with you about your experience with God. They'll try to tell you how they don't believe in that emotionalism, that Pentecostalism. They don't believe in all of that. Well, they just haven't been touched like you've been touched. But you don't have to be intimidated, because you've got the experience. You have felt him. And if you've ever felt him, nobody can tell you he's not real. Listen, I've never seen the wind, but I felt it blow. And nobody can convince me that the wind is not real. I tell you, I have felt his mighty hand upon my life. And nobody could ever make me believe that he's not real. Hallelujah. She's healed. Jesus is walking along and he just feels this power flow out of him. And he just stops. He says, who touched me? We don't know which disciple, probably old loudmouth. Who would that be? Peter. Always talking. Probably Peter that said it. You see all these people thronging up against you. And you ask us who touched you. But there's a difference. There's a difference between thronging him and touching him. There's a difference between just being there, brushing up against him, and by faith, connecting to him. Jesus said, I know somebody has touched me because power has just left out of me. I felt it flow into somebody in this crowd. Somebody plugged their extension cord into my receptacle. I just felt a release into somebody. They got what they were looking for. And the Bible says that the woman fearing and trembling. Why was she fearing and trembling? Well, she was fearing and trembling because she was ceremonially unclean. She wasn't even supposed to be in the crowd. She sure wasn't supposed to touch him. He's been ministering in the temple. He would be prohibited from doing that. She was trembling because she's just had a dynamic, powerful experience. And she fell down at his feet. And the Bible says she told him all the truth. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Because somebody in this room hadn't been telling him all the truth. And it's time to tell him all the truth. He already knows it anyway. Don't you think for a minute that God's being deceived? You've been telling God what you want God to hear. But this morning the Lord's looking for some people who'll get real and honest with him. Who'll say, Lord, this is the truth. I hadn't said it. Why does God want us to tell him all the truth? Not for his benefit, for our benefit. When we get down to real living and we start really confessing the truth about our life, that's the place we'll get the miracle. Do you remember the deceiver? His name was Jacob. And it's only when God asked him, what is your name? And he confessed, I'm a deceiver. I'm Jacob. That's the moment when he got real with God. And when he got real with God, he got a life change. God said, your name's not going to be deceiver anymore. It's going to be Prince of Men. It's going to be Israel. Get real with God today. Get real with him. He already knows the truth. You need to say it so you can be liberated. She told him all the truth. What's that mean, Pastor? It means she just said, look, 12 years ago I got sick. I've been bleeding for 12 years and I know I'm ceremonially unclean. And I know I'm not even supposed to be in this crowd today. I know what the law says. But I'm desperate. I've spent every dime that I ever saved and worked for trying to get better. I've been to every doctor that there is in the country, and none of them could help me. And now things had gotten worse. I was getting worse day by day, and I just knew that if I could touch you, I would get my miracle. So I just pressed my way in. I just pushed through the crowd when nobody was watching. And I reached up and touched you, Master. And when I touched you, I felt power flow into my body, and I got what I came for. That was the truth. And Jesus responds to her, and he says, daughter, oh, I like that. Daughter, you're not an outcast. You're not ostracized. You're not all alone. You're my daughter. Thank you, Lord, that you're his daughter this morning, that you're his son this morning, that you belong to him. He said, daughter, I want you to know your faith has made you whole, and I want you to go in peace. Why was he saying that? Don't be afraid. Don't be trembling anymore. Let all that be displaced in your life, and you be whole of that plague that's been upon you. The Lord is in this room this morning, and the only thing he's looking for is somebody who will by faith reach out and touch him. And if you'll just do that this morning, then you will feel God's touch upon your life, and then you'll hear the words of affirmation that you are whole. Go in peace. Don't be afraid. Don't walk in fear anymore. Don't let the devil beat you up anymore. It's time for you to put him where he belongs. The Bible says that you shall tread over the power of the scorpion and the serpent. They are under your feet. Put the devil under your feet today, and let Jesus be the Lord of all in your life. Come on.